Hello, everyone. This is Corinne. Welcome. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. Gratitude to Deidre, who just joined us. Hi, Deidre, for covering the call last week. Thank you so much. I'm really excited to pick up where you left off in the reading last week. So let's begin with dropping into a quiet space together. Chances are we've been on the go in some form today. Even if we've been maybe having a leisurely day, it's possible that our mind has just been thinking and busy. And so let's just take these next few moments to really drop in to our sense of willingness, because that's all we need to do. So connecting with your sense of willingness, it can be as small as a mustard seed. And in your mind, imagining yourself offering your willingness to Spirit within, to your own right mind, that part of your own mind that hasn't forgotten truth. Offering that willingness, handing that willingness over. Knowing that every miracle that we need has already been given. And even if we're not clear on the answer or clear on the shift, it can be a helpful practice just to express gratitude, knowing that the answer has already been given. We simply need to accept it. And taking a nice mindful breath in and out. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit in charge tonight, on purpose, by our requests, with joy, knowing that Spirit knows the way. With that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Excellent. So we are picking up tonight where you all left off last week. If you have the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 428 at the very top of the page. That corresponds to the original edition, chapter 18, part 3, paragraph number 18. And the first sentence is, dreams show you that you have the power. And that corresponds in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition to chapter 18, part 2, paragraph number 5. So here we go. Dreams show you that you have the power to make a world as you would have it be, and that because you want it, you see it. And while you see it, you do not doubt that it is real. Yet here is a world clearly within your mind that seems to be outside. You do not respond to it as though you made it, nor do you realize that the emotions which the dream produce must come from you. It is the figures in the dream and what they do that seem to make the dream. You do not realize that you are making them act out for you, for if you did, the guilt would not be theirs, and the illusion of satisfaction would be gone. In dreams, these features are not obscure. You seem to awaken, and the dream is gone. Yet what you fail to recognize is that what caused the dream has not gone with it. And I'll pause there. So I just love this whole section. I could have even actually even reread the whole, the first four paragraphs of this section. It's so good, but it's all about this idea of our sleeping dreams and our waking dreams. And this last sentence that we just ended this paragraph with, yet what you fail to recognize is that what caused the dream has not gone with it, meaning the desire to have a world that is not reality be substituted, be present for us in our awareness instead of the truth. And this is using a beautiful parallel between our sleeping dreams, which we can understand that, you know, when we're dreaming, obviously, in our sleeping dreams, when we're dreaming, obviously all the content that's happening is coming from us. Yet in the dream, it doesn't seem like it. It seems like it's coming from outside. So here now we're going to make the leap into this parallel of our sleeping dreams and the same thing actually being what's going on in our waking dreams. So does anybody have anything coming forward for you so far with this first paragraph?
Karina, I would love you to finish this paragraph, please.
Yes. In the FIP edition, it is one whole paragraph. In Sparkle, it's two. I'm going to keep going. Your wish to make another world that is not real remains with you. And what you seem to wake to is but another form of this same world you see in dreams. All your time is spent in dreaming. Your sleeping and your waking dreams have different forms, and that is all. Their content is the same. They are your protest against reality and your fixed and insane idea that you can change it. In your waking dreams, the special relationship is your determination to keep your hold on unreality and to prevent yourself from waking. And while you see more value in sleeping than in waking, you will not let go of it. And so there I will pause. So here it is, that quote, your sleeping and your waking dreams have different forms, and that is all. Their content is the same. They are your protest against reality and your fixed and insane idea that you can change it. So the Course is clearly telling us here that what we're experiencing in our waking dreams, reality as we know it, life as we know it, is our little protest that we could make a world to substitute for truth, that we could make a world to substitute for reality. And we've gotten so mesmerized by this holographic experience that we completely have taken it as real. And this section will go on to say that, you know, we would have, I think it's later on in this section, that we would have gotten utterly lost in this dream if we, you know, if it was our choice, but that's impossible because God doesn't wish any part of us or him to suffer. So thoughts, questions, comments?
I have a question about this because just now I was, I just went down to the beach to take some pictures, and on the way home, I'm feeling terrific. I had such a nice day. And this thought kind of came into my mind from the past, something that just irritated me. I mean, like a long time ago what happened. And I'm driving along kind of ruminating about this. And I'm looking around. Now I'm almost home. And it's just such a beautiful evening. And I'm thinking, what am I doing that for?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I want to feel upset? I mean, there's no reason for me to feel upset right now. I had a great day. And I'm having and I'm actually feeling very good right now. Is that what this is talking about? Kind of maybe going back and bringing these things up and...
Yeah.
Is there some sort of, like, an idea that, well, maybe I could change that, even though it happened a million years ago when the people who were even involved in it aren't even alive anymore? What the hell?
You know, what the heck? Paula, I identify with that. I'm sure every single one of us on this call has had some kind of experience like that, and a couple of ideas from the Course come to mind, and one of them, I don't know that we'll get to this tonight, but it will be saying that when we approach truth, when we touch love, there's part of us sometimes that gets scared again. That's like, oh, I don't know if I want that. Let me take a couple steps back. I'm going to retreat, you know, into my old patterns, into fear. And let's dredge something up from the past and ruminate about it, because that's a block. That's another, and it's a block, but it's a block that's not really there. This is where, trying to express this in words, you have to say it multiple different ways. But that's the purpose that it serves, is that like, oh, we're getting too close to love. Let's retreat back into fear and focus on this instead.
You know,
and
that makes so much sense. Because honestly, mm-hmm. I was really just loving the day. I mean, it really felt good. And thank God, you know, I'm current enough to be able to say, God, I don't have to do that. Just stop it. But I'm thinking, why would I do that? So that's really it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ego doesn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't want you to feel that way.
Why is it common? It's so common. I had the same thing.
Yeah.
Identical. Right, because there's one mind, and there's not your ego and my ego and their ego. There's only one ego. It's a mistaken thought that we would be better off apart from love. And so that's why we have this common experience, because it's this part of the mind that gets scared and retreats. So we all do this, and our little part, just like you did, Paula, is to notice it and say, hey, I don't want to do this. Holy Spirit, here, take it. I'm willing to let this be undone. You know, I'm willing to do my little part in taking this little piece of darkness to the light, because light dispels it. So it's common, because there's only one ego. We're all doing this. There's only one of us out there. We are all connected.
That's really cool.
Does
that help,
so
Brian?
Painful. Yeah, it just can be so painful. You know?
I know. Trust me, I know.
You know.
Corinne, can you explain the line, the special relationship is your determination to keep your hold on reality and to prevent yourself from waking? Why is it the special relationship that is causing us to stay in the dream?
Yes, great question. So the special relationship, and that is our special love relationships and our special relationships. We can have a special relationship to anything, and we do,
mm-hmm.
to the body, to, you know, to whatever, to food, to you name it. It's what we, in the dream, it's what we came up with as a substitute for the love of God. So rather than find that love in God, oh, no, I'm going to find it in this other person instead. So as long as we try to sort of section off our own little piece of love with this other person or with this, you know, relationship in whatever form, that's keeping it separate. Whereas when we offer that relationship to Holy Spirit now uses it on behalf of our awakening, and the purpose is changed from keeping the dream going to undoing the dream through spirit instead.
Mm-hmm. Thank
you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And you're right. We think things in the world are, you know, I see people, my friends and everything, even vacations, even everything that we do, you know, even my husband said to me, he says, you know, it's nice to have something to look forward to every once in a while. It's like that's what keeps us afloat. That's what keeps us, our head above the water. And this is might be really off the topic, but I saw a really great Twilight. I love Twilight Zone. And, there was one today where this robber got shot and he got sent to, he says, wow, he was in this wonderful room and he got to gamble and he got everything he wanted. But it soon, you know, if he gambled, he won. And if he had a girl, they would do anything he wanted and blah, blah, blah. And he says, well, you know, what did I do to go to heaven? And it finally dawned on him. He says, but I'm bored. I have everything I want. And the guy laughed at that. Was his supposedly guardian angel, and says, oh, you're mistaken. You're not in heaven. In heaven, you're in hell. So
I
get everything
that
you
one.
Want. And he realized that this isn't it. It was perfect.
I love it.
I did not delete it. I saved it. I thought, if that is a spiritual lesson, that nothing.
Right?
That is so good.
That's the ego's motto. What the Course says, its motto is seek but do not find. So everything that we possibly think can make us happy here ultimately is not going to satisfy it. We're going to end up bored. it's never going to be enough. I love that. That's perfect. I love these spiritual lessons in these mainstream media places, like movies and stuff. Deidre, did I hear you before?
Yeah. Thanks, Corinne. I just, what came to mind when you, as we're reading the two paragraphs, is I was just thinking how, you know, sometimes when you're reading the Course, you can read things and it comes across like really, really stern and really like, you know, you have created this world that isn't real as a substitute for God. And of course we know that's true, but it just made me think of how the fear voice that we all share can twist that and turn it into something where we, you know, blame ourselves and think we should be in a better spot than we are. And I don't know, it's happened to me a few times in my study of the Course, and I always remember that love's purpose for us is not to suffer. So it just brought to mind that even the Course can be used for non-spiritual purposes if we're not aware of that. Does that make sense?
Sure. Oh my gosh, yes. That's such an important point, because through the eyes and ears of the ego, when you're hearing some of these messages, that's why, like, somebody reached out just having questions about the Course, and the person had a really strong reaction against it. And one of the things that this person said was that they believe that the past is important, that the past makes us who we are. And if, you know, the part of the mind that is scared is going to hear the messages of the Course and say, oh no, you know, and it's going to twist it or use it for guilt. Deidre, I'm so glad that you raised that point. I can share a personal example that for me, for quite a while, I really struggled with feeling guilty for being here, just for being in this world, for thinking, you know, that it must be bad to be here. And that's not what the Course is saying at all. It was really, really important for me to get clear that there was guilt there and to look at that guilt with Holy Spirit to let that be undone, because it's not bad to be here. This is wholly neutral, and my guilt for feeling that was just keeping it all in place, all intact. So that's a perfect example of using a message from the Course and distorting it to be used on behalf of fear. And on behalf of guilt. So thank you for raising that, Deidre, because I think that's really important.
Yeah, because just the part where you said, like, it was talking about dreams and how we create these dreams, and it can be really easy for that little background noise voice to be like, you
feel
did
guilty
this.
About it.
Feel bad about it. You know, like, make sure you should fix it. You should make it better, you know, and whatever else. And that's not what the Course is saying, and I guess I just felt called to bring that up.
That's a really important point, and I'm so glad.
I'm glad you
did,
Deidre, because my impression of Jesus before was, you know, soft and tender and all the songs about, you know, all of this, and then I read this, and it's like, you did this, and you did that, and you want this. Like, who is this talking? You know, I don't know this guy. And it reminded me of my father, you know, and I didn't like it at all. And I said, and I just dismissed it for a long time because I didn't like the tone of it. I just did not like it. And I'll tell you, it was Nook Sanchez who changed my my opinion, her relationship with Jesus, because if it weren't for her and her stuff. I don't know that I'd gotten back to it.
Wow, awesome. You know, just to give another perspective on this idea of, like, you know, where it's like, oh, you made this and you did this. That now, maybe in the past I would have felt like, you know, guilt or fear about that. That makes me joyous now because that means God isn't doing anything to me. God is not tormenting us. God's not holding us here. God's not doing anything, you know, that I could possibly think of in any way that is negative. Thank God. And if I'm doing it, that puts me in the place of power that I can choose again. I'm the one that can choose for Holy Spirit when I'm ready. And there's no guilt if I'm not ready. Like, there's
Corinne,
no guilt whatsoever. Yes.
That's exactly it, that right from the gate. That was a relief to me. You did this. You did this. So God didn't do it. You did it. And you can stop doing it.
Yeah.
And
that, yes. And
that is
that
good
so,
news.
I
don't
agree.
Have to do this. I mean, I was walking around this world thinking anything that went wrong, well, there's nothing I can do about that. You know?
Right.
I mean, I didn't realize I had any control over anything.
And it was such a
relief. And it's not even a matter of control. I did not realize that there's a force within me that can undo this. Because we really can't do it. It's got to be done through him.
Right.
In him and through him.
Absolutely. Igor, I heard you. Oh, Igor, and
yeah,
then
thank you, Corinne, yeah. Talking about this paragraph, it's really deep and profound and kind of represents this whole ACIM's concept and its philosophy. In this sentence 12, all your time is spent in dreaming. My God, yeah. So congratulations, guys. We are all in the Matrix. Yeah? That's what basically this means. Yeah, we are in the Matrix. And you're sleeping and your waking dreams have different forms. And that's the only difference. Yeah. So, excuse me, what was the name of this lady who asked about special relationships?
Homera,
yes. Homera. Yeah, this is the right question about special relationships. And Corinne, you answered this question beautifully. I just wanted to add that in chapter 15, Jesus focuses very closely on the subject of special relationships. And that really, this is the only thing that keeps us here. This is the only reason why we still here in this matrix, because we still want to get this juice, this substitution for God's love, something that we ask from God. In chapter 12, section 3, Jesus explains how the separation occurred. He says, you were at peace until you asked from God for a special favor. Yeah?
Mm.
Special. So we ask from God for specialness, for special love, special relationships. And God couldn't answer this request because he's kind of, you know, angry or something, just because he doesn't know, he doesn't understand it, because his nature is in oneness. And so specialness, he just doesn't understand. And so we got a huge grievance on God and said, well, I'm going to build my own heaven with blackjack and hookers then. And
I love him.
And with special relationships. And but the kind of and we are the God here, yeah? I am the decision maker here, yeah? This is the temptation here. But it is kind of again like with smoking, it has side effects. Yeah, because when you have special relationship, I mean, we started separating, like, because our nature is an extension. So in heaven we were extending oneness. Here we are extending separation and specialness. Yeah, And so specialness have this side effect that, you know, conflicting interests, yeah? Conflicting interests appear. And right now, when we have shattered ourselves in just particles, and each particle has its own special interests, conflicts arise, yeah? Conflicts arise. And so we're drowning in these side effects of conflicts, of side effects of specialness. But we're still hoping that we get something, get the juice. We'll get something that God couldn't give us from this insane world. Yeah. Even though the only result for this is suffering, and Jesus talks about it. They are sentence 15. They are your, like these insane dreams. Yeah. They are your protest against reality, yeah? Because our reality is also in oneness, is our nature, because God created us in His likeness, yeah? So our nature, our happiness, our joy is also in oneness, but we decided to try this specialness. So they are your protest against reality.
Igor, that's the part, I think everything in Course in Miracles is like, It makes sense, but that one idea doesn't make, I've never been able to understand how in that oneness with all that is, in perfection, where would that thought even come from? Because we weren't separate from all that was. So where would the idea of specialness even enter to begin with, to start this whole world in the first place? Because if the idea was that initially, there was one. We were all with that one, and we're all of one mind, and God and us were all the same. Then where would that even, why would that even idea come up? It's just, that's the part that I get kind of like sometimes.
Yeah,
I would love to think about that.
Yeah, please.
Igor, do you want to respond first, and then I can go?
Yeah, very, very quickly. It's a very good kind of question, very logical, and Jesus gives very tricky answer to this in clarification of terms. He says the ego may ask a lot of questions, and he says only the ego asks questions because only the ego doubts. Yeah, so he says the ego may ask this question: how the impossible could happen? And the answer to this is it didn't happen. Because it's untrue.
That's so perfect. Oh my
because
God.
It's not true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a mind-boggling answer, but
so this is all
that's
virtual
how
reality.
It's the only perfect
in the mind of God.
Yeah. That's why everything that we think is happening is really used on behalf of awakening, because that's all there is awakening to truth.
Oh my God, that's such
beautiful.
Good news.
And also in this answer, in clarification of terms, he says there is no answer to this question. There is only experience, and so
yeah.
You can only experience this oneness in heaven. There is no intellectual answer to this.
Thank you.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's great. That's a beautiful answer, Igor. Thank you so much. The one piece that I was going to add, and I haven't been able to find the exact quote, where it's talking about, I don't know exactly where it is, and if anybody does know, if this rings a bell and you know where it is, let me know. But the quote says something to the effect of, you know, that the Son of God forgot to laugh at this idea of separation. So it's almost like, that almost makes me think, you know, the power of creation, you can think of all sorts of things, but we would laugh them off and never take them seriously. But here's this one tiny, tiny mad idea. It's in that section, I think, where it talks about the tiny mad idea that we just forgot to laugh at that. And so just sort of took it seriously. So that's what I wanted to add.
Which we're
Thank
doing
you.
Really right helpful. Now.
What's that?
Which we're doing right now.
Forgetting to laugh?
I mean, it's not like it happened a long time ago, but we're doing it every day. We're taking it seriously.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing is that this isn't all happening, seemingly happening, because like Igor said, it's not.
It's not happening at all.
But, oh, I lost my train of thought. Sue, what did you just say? It'll come back maybe if you repeat.
I just said we're doing it now. You know, it's like
yes,
we made a choice way back then, and we're making the same choice now.
Exactly, and that's the key, is that nothing happened back then, seemingly, that isn't seemingly still happening now. So it's not like this is all seemingly happening because of something in the past. It's the choice that we're making right now in this moment to not laugh, to not...
A choice.
Mm-hmm.
Choice,
so
right.
Thank you. That's beautiful.
Mm.
Beautiful. Go on.
I'm sorry. I was just going to mention really, really quickly, there's a video. I don't know if everyone has heard of, there's a teacher that goes by the name of Muji. I think that's how you say his name. Muji?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a video that it's called The Laughing Buddha. And I thought of it because, Corinne, you said the quote about forgetting to laugh. And it's just like 6-10 minutes of laughing over the whole dream and how we've made this all real. And he's having this conversation with a bunch of different people, seemingly, in the video, and they're laughing about how, you know, having conversations about how none of this exists. And it's just hilarious. If you watch it, your eyes will water because... it's so funny. It's just talking about how serious we make everything and how real we think it is. And when you can have a chance to have a conversation about truth and how we're not actually really here, we don't have these jobs, we are not these bodies, we don't exist. And I really recommend it. If you want to Google it, I think it's called The Laughing Buddha, and it's by Muji.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Deidre. And I'll just add, if there was any of that tiny, fearful background chatter that you brought up before about that idea that we don't exist, remember, you exist with a capital Y. The I am very much exists. It's this seeming, you know, dream state, these separate bodies, these personal identities, that is part of the dream. And we're waking up to experience the capital YU, you know, the capital I am. That's as we gain experiences of that, how can we possibly be afraid of it? Because then it's like we're coming to actually know it. It's not some foreign idea or just, you know, intellectual words. Mm. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Thank you, DJ. Let's read another paragraph. The Holy Spirit, ever practical in his wisdom, accepts your dreams and uses them as means for waking. You would have used them to remain asleep. We once said that the first change, before dreams disappear, is that your dreams of fear are changed to happy dreams. That is what the Holy Spirit does in your special relationship. He does not destroy it, nor snatch it away from you. Your special relationship will remain, not as a source of pain and guilt, but as a source of joy and freedom. It will not be for you alone, for therein lay its misery. As its unholiness kept it a thing apart, its holiness will become an offering to everyone. I'm going to read the next paragraph. Your special relationship will be a means for undoing guilt in everyone blessed through your holy relationship. It will be a happy dream and one which you will share with all who come within your sight. Through it, the blessing which the Holy Spirit has laid upon it will be extended. Think not that he has forgotten anyone in the purpose he has given you. And think not that he has forgotten you to whom he gave the gift. He uses everyone who calls on him as means for the salvation of everyone. And he will waken everyone through you who offered your relationship to him. If you but recognize his gratitude, or mine through his. For we are joined as in for we are joined as in one purpose, being of one mind with him. And I'll pause there. Oh, isn't this beautiful? So can you feel just how it's saying that, you know, that special relationship will be transformed, it will be repurposed. Nothing gets lost or taken away. It gets repurposed and used not just on behalf of your awakening, but upon the awakening, for the awakening of all, of everything. And how, what more of an amazing purpose can that be? That's so beautiful.
Corinne.
Yes.
I don't have my book in front of me, but there's a part that you just, can you reread those sentence where it says, whoever it is chooses, then they are then essentially responsible for helping everybody else wake up is how I interpreted it. But you know what I'm talking about? It was just a few lines before the end.
Think not that he has forgotten anyone in the purpose he has given you, and think not that he has forgotten you to whom he gave the gift. He uses everyone who calls on him as means for the salvation of everyone. And he will awaken everyone through you who offered your relationship to him. Was that it?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Isn't
that beautiful?
Beautiful. Okay. Wow. Okay.
And it's just that, again, that tiny willingness to say, here you go, you know, take this. I'm willing to let this be repurposed for this all to happen. Our little part is simply to have that willingness to hand it over.
You know, what that makes me think about is I know sometimes myself, especially, I have gotten caught up with thinking that someone needs to, I'm like, oh my gosh, everyone has to read the course or otherwise they won't have the breakthroughs. But obviously there are tons of people who don't, who have breakthroughs and they're enlightened, or anything that I'm doing that I feel like is extremely beneficial. And that just reminds me that, number one, whatever my path is and how it's allowing me to grow and heal and transform, then that in and of itself, my growth from that could help somebody else. Not necessarily them walking my path, you know what I mean, using the channels that I use, but knowing that the impact, since I chose this, I can still have a pretty significant impact. So that was just beautiful and helpful. So, thank you for reading that for me.
Yeah, thank you, Lishava. And you're raising such an important point that although this is our path, this is a path that speaks to us, the course ends with saying this is a beginning, you know, not an ending, that this is pointing us in a direction. And I feel like, you know, I used to be very critical of people who I felt like were Bible pushers, like, you know, like the Bible says this and you have to do this because this is the truth. We can do that with the course too. Like, we're making the same mistake when we think that, like, hey, you're not doing the course, so you're not, like, going to wake up.
Right.
yeah, and it's so important for us to, you know, to recognize that, because I know I've had that in myself in the past, absolutely, with thinking that this is the way, when it's just my way. We have, I think, a tendency as humans to think that, you know, our way is the right way, and that gets us into a lot of trouble. Thank you for bringing that up.
That's so true. I think of my mother, who is a traditional Christian. But as I look back on the things that she has said, she said, when I accepted Jesus, I stepped into eternity that day. That was years ago, and I thought, wow. And then when her brother got killed in the Korean War, people kept saying, you know, this is God's will. He wanted him to come to heaven. God wanted him and all this. And she says, after I thought about that for a few years, I said, no. That war was not God's will. That was man. That was not God. So she's just a Christian who's open to spirit, and those things are just coming to her naturally through her love of God. She's
beautiful.
Not studying the course, but she is committed to her faith.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it say, Corinne, at the beginning that a universal theology is impossible, but a universal experience is not only possible but necessary? So there's many paths to the same hub, to the same place.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you, Homera, so much for ringing that up. That's perfect. I think I heard Paul.
Yeah, excuse me. I just wanted to bring up another point when you were reading that line. It reminded me of the video you had made about flying and how like the special relationship can be applied to anything, but when you heal that, you do it not just for yourself but for others. And just even watching that video, it for something like popped in me or aha'd, and I was like, oh, okay. So like next time I get on a plane, like this consciousness is there, and you know, I'm just curious to see what happens. But that came to mind when you were reading that too.
Oh, awesome. Mm. Thank you for sharing that, Paul. Yeah, I used to, I mean, significant, like I'd worry about a flight for months in advance if I knew I had to get on a plane. And my last flight, when I tell you I did not have an ounce, like a smidgen of anxiety, it was just like the most peaceful experience, and it was not a smooth flight. So this is what's possible. Like healing doesn't happen later, it's happening right now, because there's nothing to heal because we're healed already.
And it's that confidence, knowing that God goes with you, that the availability is endless. There's not a moment. Mm-hmm. There's not a situation. There's nothing.
There is no, the Course is something, like there's no time or space or state where God is absent.
There's nothing my holiness cannot do. My God, remembering that, any situation.
The only challenge, though, is when you're, I hate to use the word obsessive, you know, when you continually go back over your wounds, you know, and you continually remind yourself.
But you don't have to do that.
I know.
You don't
I
have
know.
To do it. And that really, the Holy Spirit will undo that for you. Because you want it undone.
I sure do.
It will happen.
Yes. Yep.
It will
the
happen.
The ego is obsessive, Brian. You're not alone. The ego is obsessive, and it harps on the past, and it will bring up the pain. And again, just think of it too, like, one of the things that I write about in my forthcoming book is that those of us who have struggled with significant anxiety have a gift, because we have a really easy time recognizing fear. We can sense the tiniest little bit coming up because we're hyper attuned to it. And the awareness of love's presence has got to be just beneath the surface of our attention for the anxiety and the fear to kick up so often. That's all. Everything out there and the difficulties, like anxiety that we feel within, like I'm just thinking about all the crazy, like horrible stuff in the news that's seemingly like been really kicking up lately. It's all there from the ego's purpose. It's to ensure that we don't wake up, that we stay focused on that picture, and that, you know, it has to hurt so bad. It's trying to convince us that we can't look away from it. You know, that it's through these horrible things, the ego's purpose is to have us not wake up. When we become willing to give these situations that we see, I go back to that prayer, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Because the moment I look at it, you know, Corinne sees horror. So it's this idea, take it from me and look upon it, judging it for me. I don't know how I got off that little tangent. But
well,
anyway.
Definitely. Yeah, it's those things, those decisions from 40 years ago, you know, things that just won't go away. And it's got to be the Holy Spirit to help.
Well, he says right here, he says, the Holy Spirit, ever practical in his wisdom, accepts your dreams and uses them as a means for waking you, or for waking. You would have used them to remain asleep. I'm telling you, I've had experiences lately,
things have happened that I never thought possible. Things that I have been wanting all of my life. He's undone it for me. I'm open to it. Things are opening to me that I'm like, I can't, this is amazing. So it's going to happen, Brian. If you want it to happen, believe me, he will make it happen for you.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And you know what?
In his time.
Right.
But it's happened already. Just as a reminder,
it
what we started off with in the meditation at the beginning of our call, maybe try experimenting with saying, Holy Spirit, thank you. You've given me the answer already. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And try to stop and step into that gratitude. You might not be aware of what that answer is, but the Holy Spirit has given it. That miracle has already been given. You've already received it. It's just about, you know, accepting it. So that's one thing to experiment with, is just starting to say, Holy Spirit, thank you. The other thing that came up is, this is inspired, as Sue mentioned earlier, Nook Sanchez has helped me a lot also. Another question, she talks about radical inquiry, that sometimes it can be really helpful to use radical self-inquiry to look with Holy Spirit at the ego's tactics. And so if a fear feels like it's coming up over and over and over, something from the past, maybe asking yourself a question like, what benefit is this fear serving? And getting really, really, really radically honest about that. Well, if I give up this fear, I'm afraid that blank will happen. If I give up this fear, you know, if I no longer am afraid of this, and fill in the blank. And whatever comes up as a result of that radical self-inquiry, looking at that with Holy Spirit, that's been helpful to me on my journey with loosening fixed obsessions
that
couldn't seem to let go of. So
that is it, exact. Thank you so much. Oh,
and Brian, you know, the course, this is Sue, is psychological and spiritual. I realized that my beings, when the only time I got love and attention when I was growing up, my whole life from my father, was when I was sick. Either when I was sick or when I was dysfunctional. Either way, I got attention. Any other time, I won't get into it. So I made a connection with that. I thought, well, that's how I get approval. That's how I get love. And once I realized that, I mean, it still happens, but I'm more tuned into it now. I thought, I am deeply conditioned to believe that love comes from being not right, not being strong, not being independent, not being your own person, not being whatever, just being a weakling. So those things might come up.
I think you hit on something really big there.
Yeah.
I do. Because like she said, it continues, but at least when you're aware of it, I think the Holy Spirit can really work with that awareness, too.
It's happened my whole life. It's going to happen for a while until it's undone.
Yeah, but the awareness of it and the willingness to turn it over to Spirit when you are aware of it. And that's what I'm talking about. Over time, he takes it all. He takes it all. It is mind-blowing. It's amazing.
Because it's your right mind. I'm in my right mind.
Yeah.
I would not want this. But I didn't live in my right mind for my mom.
No, we are unlearning a lot of garbage. We learned so much crap. And we really continue to, as we focus on the unnatural world, the TV, all of the crap that's going around,
everything,
and really believe this stuff. But, again, it doesn't matter. It's like I said before, it's done. It's done.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to read the last two paragraphs, but Homera, did I hear you say anything? Did you want to add something?
No. I was just saying that everything that was being, like, it was just hitting me when all these, like, insights were coming in, I'm thinking, well, my ego gets a lot of juice out of, you know, being, and I remember when I first heard that, I resisted it so much, you know, going over the past history, all of that, but there's juice that is being given when I sit and like immerse myself in the past. So I have to be willing kind of to look at that, and not in a blaming kind of way, but just as a mere fact that that's what my ego does. And, you know, be willing, like, I don't remember who said, but be willing to look at it, I think it was you maybe, Karen, with the Holy Spirit eyes on the past rather than my ego's eyes. And
right,
maybe that will, you know, give me some separation. So I was just getting some aha moments as everybody was talking.
Beautiful. Let's go ahead and read the last two paragraphs of this section. Let not the dream take hold to close your eyes. It is not strange that dreams can make a world that is unreal. The wish to make it is incredible. Your relationship has become one in which the wish has been removed because its purpose has been changed from one of dreams to one of truth. You are not sure of this because you think it may be this that is the dream. You are so used to choosing between dreams that you do not see that you have made, at last, the choice between the truth and all illusions. Yet heaven is sure. This is no dream. Its coming means that you have chosen truth, and it has come because you have been willing to let your special relationship meet its conditions. In your relationship, the Holy Spirit has gently laid the real world, the world of happy dreams, from which awakening is so easy and so natural. For as your sleeping and your waking dreams represent the same wishes in your mind, so do the real world and the truth of heaven join in the will of God. The dream of waking is easily transferred to its reality, for this dream comes from your will joined with the will of God. And what this will would have accomplished has never not been done. There has only, in other words, there has only ever been love. Who did I just sigh in tandem with? I heard a deep exhale as I was...
I'm going to circle, didn't it? What we started out saying.
It is.
Thank you.
Igor, do you want to add something?
Yeah, in this paragraph 8, sentence 4, your relationship with your brother has now become one in which the wish has been removed, this crazy wish, yeah? And in the paragraph before, first sentence, your special relationship will be the means for undoing guilt. Yeah, for undoing guilt and transform it into a holy relationship. Yeah, so and how you undo the guilt, because this is the problem, this is the whole problem we have. We think we have this unconscious huge guilt for leaving our father. Yeah, like Jesus in the Bible, he says the story of the prodigal son, yeah, who left his father, and then he started feeling very extremely guilty for leaving his father, yeah, and he thought he could never go back, the father will never accept him back, yeah, but this pain is so huge that we have to get rid of it, you know, we don't like to feel guilty, who likes to feel guilty, so we project all of those jerks, scapegoats, and we blame them. Yeah, this is the paragraph you first read, Corinne, paragraph 5 in the FIP edition, sentence 6, says, you do not realize that you are making these figures act out for you, for if you did realize it, then the guilt would not be theirs, yeah? Because we will realize that it is not their guilty ones. that we are just projecting this guilt on them. And then the illusion of satisfaction would be gone. Yeah. So that's why we project this guilt, and then we cut our memory off about the fact that it's all we. we did this, you see. It's like a beautiful movie, Memento, by Christopher Nolan. Absolutely beautiful movie, which shows this very same thing, how we can, you know, project something, and then we cut off our memory, so we are going into the wrong direction deliberately. Yeah? We fool ourselves. This is astounding how we do this. And so, paragraph 7 again, your special relationship will be a means for undoing the guilt. How you undo the guilt? What is the antipode for guilt? What is the, you know, what is the healing? It's forgiveness, right? This is forgiveness, this genuine forgiveness, which we, Jesus asks us to do, to perform with, along with the Holy Spirit, when we see those jerks, those politicians, those criminals, those terrorists, those parents, you know, everyone we blame, and we remove the guilt from them. We start blaming them. We stop blaming them, and we forgive. Realize this is just our own insane dream, and that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. I'll end with a reminder of that prayer from Ho'oponopono, which reminds us that there's nothing outside of ourselves, that everything we see is coming from our minds. This is the story of E. Haleakala Hugh Len, the psychiatrist or psychologist doctor who worked in the psych ward in Hawaii with violent criminals, and there was a lot of staff turnover, and the staff was really unhappy. He never met face-to-face with any of his patients, but he would look at their names, I think, on their folders, their files, and he would say, "I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you." And that prayer, in my own words, reminds me of the Course's teaching. I love you is recognizing the truth in the other person. I'm sorry. In other words, I did this. This is coming from me. Please forgive me. I'm giving this to the Holy Spirit, and thank you. It is done. So to me, it's always been another way of saying, you know, the Course process in a nutshell. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And through him just doing that, cleaning is the word he uses, cleaning his own mind, those patients healed. The staff turnover stopped because, you know, there was no need. And I believe it's possible that either that psychiatric hospital closed down because there wasn't a need for it anymore, or it just was very much reduced. I don't remember the
outcome. No, that
outcome,
was it.
But it's,
it
yeah,
did. It
yeah,
closed
it's
down.
It's an incredible, real story.
That can be used
Corinne,
in any situation that disturbs us.
Absolutely.
In any situation Absolutely. That comes into your mind that frightens you or disturbs you, that is the most powerful, powerful mantra, in a sense.
Yeah.
So what I love you, I love you. I'm
love
sorry.
You.
I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you.
Yes.
And just say
the
it over and over and over.
Yeah, the
in
book,
chapter 5, by the way, in chapter 5, by the way, Jesus says the only meaningful prayer is for forgiveness. Yeah, great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's
beautiful.
It.
The
Corinne,
book, if anybody's interested, is called Zero Limits.
Zero Limits.
Yeah.
I read a book today called, maybe you guys have read it, Illusions, The Adventures of a Reluctant Messiah. It's Course in Miracles in like 57 pages. It's like,
I read that book. It's wonderful.
Yeah, incredible book. Yeah.
Awesome. What's the name of it again?
It's called Illusions, The Adventures of a Reluctant Messiah. It's by the same author that wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Richard Bach, is that the guy?
Yes.
Yeah, it's an oldie, but a goodie.
Yes,
awesome. Beautiful. Wow, well, we're at the top of our time together. My goodness, Thank you.
Thank you.
I feel so much gratitude for everyone coming together to share this time and this space. Big group hug. I'm sending you guys such a big hug.
Have a wonderful
thank
day.
You. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great
God
week.
You.
See you next week,
thank
everyone.
You. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good night.
Bye.
Bye, family. Take care.
Bye, Carla.
Bye.